It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
Here with his fifth career single and his first as an independent by choice artist, 2021 Juno nominee Jade Eagleson is here to talk about his brand new single, All Night to Figure It Out. Welcome, Jade Eagleson.
Woo! Well, hello there.
Wow, what
Thanks
a year.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Not a problem. We are so honored to have you. What a huge year for you for 2020.
I've been really blessed this year. Of course, a lot of ups and downs for everybody, but you know, we're just really happy to be still making music in some form.
It just goes to show you, for other artists out there, when you're starting out, it is not all a ride all the way up. There's a lot of pitfalls and there's an awful lot of journey along the way, and you've got to really believe in yourself. Because I remember when you first started, I was there at the after party at the CMAOs and also at the CCMAs, your very first one that you attended. And
yeah, that feels like a forever ago.
I know, but now look at where you are, going through the pitfalls to come out here. Did you ever think your self-titled album would be exactly like this?
I mean, I did not expect the reaction from the folks that I got, but I knew that the team I was working with was really great, and you know, everyone gave it their maximum effort, and I knew there'd be a good outcome. And to have this kind of outcome is just, you know, really blessed. And I'm really happy for my team and, you know, everyone that kind of helped get me to this point.
It's hard work, and you do need a really good team behind you, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's pretty wild. There's so much stuff in the background going on that people don't see, whether it's like management or, mm-hmm. you know, and when I was working with the label, they had a huge part in this as well. And, you know, everyone kind of came together and planned this out. It wasn't, it's never just the artist. It's always the team around them.
It does make a huge difference. And that's what they say, you know, what you come to, you know, the peaks in your journey in this music industry. And it is not an easy road. It's not a turnkey you know, yeah. career. It's just not. You guys have to work so hard and the team behind you. And, you know, you got songs, you know, that you're going to release that just may not fit with everybody, but you have to have it in place in your mind and everything set where you understand that the music's for you. And you're just hoping that the fans are along the way that like your stuff, right?
Yeah. And I've definitely been in the situation where, I've written a song and in my mind, I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever written. We need to release it. And then, you know, like, no, trust us. And then a couple of years later, you listen to that same song, you're just like, wow, like, what was I thinking? it's pretty crazy. Like, these people know what they're doing. And I'm really blessed to have them in my corner because if it wasn't for them, there'd be some interesting songs out there.
but when you stop and you think about it, right, you know, there's a reason why you wrote them. There's a reason why that part of the journey was there, and always tapping into yourself. It's a growing period for you, and everybody's growing because life keeps changing, you know, the noise, everything that's happening around you. And, you know, that's the development of an artist. That's the creativity, if you look at it that way.
Oh, absolutely. It's every time you write or you work at something, it's always helping you to get better.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, really awesome. Part of it is like you might not write the best song that day, but you know, you still put time into becoming better.
Mm-hmm. You're honing your craft, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a fun ride just kind of learning what does work, what doesn't work, what might work. Those are the three different variables.
I remember talking to you at the CCMAs because I know it was pretty overwhelming for you that day because you're really, you're such a laid back, gentle soul.
And depends on the day.
Well, at that time, I remember you know, being on the carpet for the first time, watching the experience. And you just said you were just in awe of everybody that was on the carpet, everybody that you had looked up to. Do you remember that?
I do. I still feel like that. And it's amazing because like some of these artists now, I get to write with them and it just like when I was a kid, I'd watch like CMT when they still had music on it, and I'd be like, wow, like this is amazing. Like, this is the kind of thing I want in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look up to all these different Canadian acts, and, you know, eventually, you know, I was on in the same place as them. And, like, it started off as like going to the same events at the very beginning of the career. And I thought that was cool. And then it moved on to, you know, being a part of those events with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it kind of like making friendships and stuff. Cause like a lot of Canadian artists are really, really gracious with their time and
oh,
really
yeah.
want to build other people out. Like Brett Kissel would be one of those guys, and Gord Bamford. All those guys, I've reached out to them, and, you know, they have great insight on, you know, helping young artists. And just on the way up as well, I've met a lot of great friends that I write with and have become pals with, just because, like, they're in the same boat. It's always weird because, like, you don't always want to reach out, like, oh, this guy doesn't have the time for me. And then when you do, it's like, oh, I'm a big fan of you. And it's like, oh, I'm a bigger fan of you, kind of thing. And you become friends. So it's really crazy. Like, looking back, because I never imagined I'd get to be a part of this incredible community.
Well, and look at you now. 3 gold singles off this album alone. So
it's,
for you...
Yeah, it's hard to fathom.
You know, for you to have the self-titled album and 3 gold singles, you got your name on it as one of them, Count the Ways, and your very first #1 spun domestic song on country radio. It is the most spun domestic song. That is insane. Just for the first 3 songs.
It's hard to wrap my head around, for sure.
Well, Lucky was the one that we're talking about when it comes to the first #1 most spun domestic song on country radio in 2020. And it's called Lucky. Talk to us about that song.
That one was like a ton of fun. I remember... we were in Nashville writing it with the same group of guys that I write a lot of my songs with, Travis Wood, Gavin Sleet, and Todd Clark. And
mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, I think it was Trav came in with the idea of Lucky, and, you know, he's one of those guys that just comes in with a title and you don't understand it. And once he explains it, you're just like, wow, like that's really cool. So it was, we started building it off of, like my producer and this one of the writers in the room, Todd, I kind of had this guitar riff idea. We kind of had the key we're going in, and him and I kind of collectively created this riff to fit over the song, which is like the dan dan dan, and then we're like, okay, like this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the song writing like a ton of fun. And it was the first song I released that was like, hey, like this is starting to sound more like what I want, because like the first couple songs, I love them and I still think they're really a part of who I am, but
mm-hmm.
it's like you don't know who you are as an artist until you write that song. And for me, that was this song. Like, we wrote it, and as soon as I heard it back, I'm like, you know, this is what I want. You know, it's got some 90s feeling in there. There's a lot of like real country guitar in there, and that's what really sold me on this tune, and I just love it.
That's your heart and your soul, and as an artist, you know exactly when a song feels right, and that's exactly what you're talking
yeah.
about with this one.
We never thought we'd go like #1 or anything.
It did a lot more than go #1.
Yeah. We kind of were sitting on it, and I was like, well, this is like super country. And when you release something true to you, it's almost a bit nerve wracking. It's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like this is me. This is like what my bread and butter, like that real country sound. And I didn't think, you know I love it, but I didn't know if anyone else would. And I'm really glad that, you know, that was, you know, interpreted, on both ends of it mm-hmm. is a good song. So it was really cool to see the accolades it got for us.
And when you're looking at it too, you just tapped in on it and you just said, you know what, this is something that's so personal to you. And, you know,
yeah.
you were writing about yourself and, you know, it just felt right, you know, to be able to do it. It felt good to you, but, you know, it just goes to show you fans always respond when you write honestly, and you're right about
yeah,
something
no,
that they can relate to. And you took that chance to be vulnerable, and look what happened.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. That's for sure.
Well, let's give them a taste of that just to remind them of exactly how lucky you are. So let's play Lucky with CCMA's Rising Star Award recipient Jade Eagleson here on Music's Journey.
Never won a million bucks on a scratch-off ticket. Hell, I ain't even won five. Been out all day in a pontoon fishing on a lake full of bass, no bites. Been broke down on the side of the road in a truck I just fixed up. And I've prayed for rain for days and days. Well, them fields just turned up dust. So how did I get so lucky? You got me thanking those stars above me for the way you make every God-given day so sunny. It's funny, I ain't even in Kentucky, but don't I know it, 'cause of you it's all coming up roses. I still can't believe every time you tell me you love me, honey. How did I get so lucky? So lucky. So lucky. Those neon lights must have lined right up that night and your eyes caught mine. There you were, and there I was, in the right place at the right time. Got a kiss like heaven, it's like I rolled a seven on a paradise. I still don't know what the soul boy did to get your hand in mine. Yeah, how did I get so lucky? You got me thanking those stars above me for the way you make every God-given day so sunny. But don't I know it, 'cause of you it's all coming up roses. I still can't believe every time you tell me you love me, honey. How did I get so lucky?
From his self-titled debut album, that is Jade Eagleson with Lucky. Never won a million bucks on a scratch-off ticket, but he's had millions of streams with these songs. Congratulations, Jade. Pretty good accomplishment.
He's going, wait a minute. I've had a scratch. Now, this album is on the track to break some incredible records. Already is, okay? You're already streaming over 85 million just on the first three singles alone. And to see that the fans had resonated with this album so much, what did that feel like to you? And what does this album mean to you?
This is definitely like one of those albums where every part of me was kind of released on. It's like some of that new wave and some old stuff, and we didn't know how it would be taken. We're like, all right, well, we're not really sticking to one thing here. We're kind of mixing it up, and you know, this album really showed us that, you know, people like that. People like a little switcheroo here and there between songs, and you know, it's really exciting because, like, as an artist, I get to be able to do like everything I love to do, which is, you know, some rock, more rock stuff, or you know, more upbeat stuff, and just really country stuff, which is like my favorite of all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's you know, it was really cool. Like, we never imagined how it would go, and just like to know that fans appreciate this kind of music makes me feel great. It makes me feel that like what I'm doing is right.
100%. And I am so happy for you. When you look at Got Your Name on It, it's had such great attention in the U.S. and is gold certified. An official video had over 21 million, making the most viewed video for Canadian country music, like in the past 5 years.
What a great video, too.
Wow. So much fun. So much fun.
Yeah, that was it's all Ben Knechtel is like solely responsible for that video. He had the vision, and I remember he took it to our team, and since it was the first single, they're like, well, like, he needs to be in the video more. Like, this is his first video ever.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really glad. I'm really glad we didn't do that and just listen to him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because he's done Carly Rae Jepsen, like, Call Me Maybe video, and a ton of other videos like that where, you know, they've just garnered such success for the artist. So I'm really lucky to be working with him, and he's also from my hometown. So it's another little cool sound place.
Nice. Who are the kids on the video?
The kids are actors we hired, and you know, Hudson Abbott is actually like a professional, like gymnast and everything like that. So I think when they're scouting, he applied, and we're just like, man, this kid's full of energy. His folks. Folks are really great people too, and it was like just a privilege getting to meet him and his dad, and just having them be a part of the video is absolutely awesome.
Is the storyline in that video pretty true to your life?
It is, except I didn't meet my wife until I was older, but it is it's kind of funny, but it definitely is like that farm is, you know, actually my farm.
Oh, really?
So all the shenanigans the kid gets up to in the video is pretty true to some of the stuff I did. Except I don't have any tattoos. But well, that's the only thing that I don't have.
Well, I'm going to set you up with that comment at the end of the interview and get you to answer a question for me. So you've just led me into that one.
Uh-oh.
You gave me a good idea. So it's on you.
There's smoke coming from her ears.
Hey, we got to keep it real, right? We got to keep it interesting. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
So you have just released your new single, and that is All Night to Figure It Out. It takes the listener in a completely different ride for you. More on your gentle side, but then you give a little bit of kick ass right at the end of it. So tell us about this one.
Well, this one was really exciting. So I wasn't a writer on it. It was Brad Rampel, Ben Stennis, and Jeremy Spillman. Mm-hmm. And Brad Rampel being...
High Valley.
You know, yeah, High Valley. So one of the brothers. And they sent this song to us, and I listened to it. And I just remember kind of saying, like, well, like, this is really heavy. Like, I love the hair metal vibes. Because it comes in with the chorus. And then all of a sudden, they somehow switched into this verse that was super country, and I was like, how on earth did they do that? Like, it really wowed me, and I just had to cut it. I was like, if you guys, you know, are fine with me cutting this song, I absolutely will, because, you know, upon listening to it, I was like, this is me, you know, this mm-hmm. hair metal vibe, and because I love 80s rock. Like, that's just one of the things I love, and I also love, like, super traditional country. I don't know if that's just a farm kid thing, but yeah.
You know,
I heard
what?
That was a
rock roots. Like, who is your favorite rock band?
Van Halen for sure.
There's that guitar
or
guy.
Yeah, Eddie Van Halen and all those cats. And then I love Def Leppard as well, like all that kind of stuff.
Oh, those are the ones that are on my road tune list. So no matter where I go, Van Halen's the first one that comes on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Def Leppard is the easiest band to play air drums with in your car.
Oh, yeah.
Because you only need one hand, right?
Exactly. It's crazy what they did to make their sound. Like, I think it was Mutt Lange introduced the whole, like, synth pad kind of thing. Mm-hmm. To that drummer, and you know, created their sound, which is really, really cool.
Man, some classic rock. We can't live without it. Okay, so let's play All Night to Figure It Out by 2021 Juno Award nominee for Country Album of the Year with Jade Eagleson here on Music's Journey.
Are you gonna slide on fire up next to me? Make me work a little bit harder. Are you gonna keep that kiss on your pretty red lips and make me wait a little bit longer?
by now. If you don't know how much I want you, girl, we got all night to figure it out. Saved up a little bit of that folding money, put on a little smell good, cleaned all the muddy off my boots, and did it all for you. It took a little looking, but I found you daisy, trying to cook up a little drive, crazy plan, doing all I can. Are you gonna slide all tied up next to me, make me work a little bit harder? Are you gonna keep that kiss on your pretty red lips and make me wait a little bit longer? Ooh, I'll do anything you want right now. If you don't know how much I want you, girl, we got all night to figure it out. Baby, if you want, we can roll into town, but I know another road that I'd rather roll down with you. What's a man gotta do to even get a little more close to you? Share a slow dance and a harvest moon. The way that you're smiling, it's got me thinking, maybe you're feeling it too. Are you gonna slide all tied up next to me, make me work a little bit harder? Are you gonna keep that kiss on your pretty red lips and make me wait a little bit longer? Do anything you want right now. If you don't know how much I want you, girl, we got all night to figure it out. Are you gonna slide all tied up next to me, or make me work a little bit harder? Are you gonna keep that kiss on your pretty red lips and make me wait a little bit longer? Ooh, I'll do anything you want right now. If you don't know how much I want you, girl, we got all night to figure it out.
All night to figure it out. Jade Eagleson on the Music's Journey podcast. Now back with her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I love this tune. This one is going to do so well. And to come off the skirts of this album and how well it's doing, I have no doubt that this one's going to be a gold certified as well.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No doubt about it. Now, you were really nervous about the vocals in this song. And tell us why.
I was. Well, I knew the verses would be kind of like my bread and butter, but you know, I never really challenged myself to kind of step outside my comfort zone and, you know, really put it out there and just belt it out. So it's definitely a side that, you know, I haven't been able to show. And I didn't know if people are going to like the high range of my voice because, you know, what I'm used to singing is low and lower. Mm-hmm. So when it came to this one, I was just like, all right, like, we'll see. Like, let's see if they like my upper register or not. And I had a hard time with it just because like I didn't want to let loose. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like tight about it. And I was like, you know, like, should I just like let her fly or, you know, I was kind of self doubting myself, and my producer kind of walked me through it. And just let me be myself. And that's kind of, what's on this record is just me being myself and the both sides of it too. So it was a challenge, but I love challenges, and I'm really glad that, you know, I was in there and he was in there to help me.
You were talking about Todd Clark. He was the producer, you know, for this one. And he really, really honed in on exactly what he knew you were capable of. And that opens up a whole new level of future music for you because, you know, you're basing all of the music that you've done so far on that lower register. And it reminds me of the story of the Bee Gees. And, you know, and how they changed, they had their ups and their downs and were hit writers. And then all of a sudden, you know, he sat in with one producer and he just told him, listen, I want you to sing it at this key. And he went, I can't do that. And as soon as he did it, that's where the best music they ever did came out. It opened up a whole new era for them. And I think that's what's going to happen with you. You're going to start looking at songs a lot differently and what you're capable of doing.
Yeah, no, the Bee Gees are definitely a great example for sure. So, no, I appreciate that. I'm excited to see what we can do now with some new songs.
Mm-hmm. What did it feel like working with Todd Clark?
Oh, it's amazing. He did the whole album, and also Gavin Slate was a part of that as well as a producer. You know, they're my friends as well, and it's kind of cool to be in a room and write with your friends and say, like, have, you know, Todd kind of producing things, and it allows him to be a little more transparent. Like, if I'm screwing up a note really bad, he's not gonna, you know, dance around the sugar bush. He's gonna tell me. Yeah, so it's been a fun experience, kind of like working with him and getting to know him, because he's got so many accolades, and so many different things that he's accomplished, with artists he's worked with outside of myself, and mm-hmm. you know, it's a privilege to get to work with him.
Well, congratulations on this album, and congratulations on your Juno nomination for Country Album of the Year. And that's coming on May 16th on CBC. How does that feel for a Juno nom?
I still can't wrap my head around it. I didn't expect it. And actually, when we got the call, I was cooking breakfast for my son, and I didn't hear my manager properly. I thought he was saying something about registering for one, and like, hey, let's like register for a Juno or whatever. And then, like, you know, once I heard him clear, I was like, you're kidding me. Like, it was hard to wrap my head around. I was just like, wow. Like, so I don't know. I called my, my folks and told them right away, and they're just as shocked as me. So
what? They can't, yeah, after hearing this album. No way.
I don't know. I think my dad and mom had, you know, 26 years of dealing with me, so I wouldn't blame them if they didn't want to hear any more of me.
that's when she's watching the video and she's trying to hold you back, right?
Yeah.
You're running away. She's going, yep, that's exactly how I felt.
The funny thing is like, that's actually them in the video too.
So. Oh, really?
So it's my dad. He's the one with the bandana, the tattoo guy, and
cool.
My mom's the one that's running up the laneway. I thought it'd be funny to have my actual parents in there.
This video is just getting better and better. It's just getting better and better.
It's hilarious because, like, when we're doing it, we're like, it's hilarious just because, like, growing up, my dad, he's like this really gritty, like, tough guy, and you know, growing up, he'd always tell us how much he loved, like, drama class, and we're like, what? Yeah, it's like, I get it. Like, we do have that, like, side to us. Obviously, like, there's arts in our life, and like, I'm a musician. My mom's a musician, and my dad, I guess, really loved acting. Like, he's he's a doorman, and he had all these other things to prove that he's a tough guy. But you know, he's telling us this, like, when we were growing up, he was like, yeah, like, I love drama class. And then sure enough, this video came around, and he was asked. And, like, I didn't know if he was going to be hesitant or, like, if that, like, drama guy in him was going to come out. And sure enough, it did. He was really amped up to play in the video. And he did really good. Like, I think it was, like, a one-take kind of thing.
Well, you could feel the frustration of the mother so easily. And then we were laughing. Boy. We were watching it and going, oh, man. So did you give an imitation of exactly how you ran away as a kid for the actor?
Oh, I was a little quicker than him. She knew, at least in the video, to act out as if, like there's no use in even trying to chase me. I was quick. Not so quick now.
Now, does your son do it to you?
Oh, yeah. He is a menace. They're talking about, like, terrible twos and whatnot, but, like, he is walking pretty early, so he's got, like, a pretty good handle on, you know, running and climbing and whatnot. And he's only 16 months, so I feel like right now is a terrible twos, but he knows, like, he's just immune to discipline of any sort. Like, I don't even know how you discipline a one-year-old. Like, I just say no. Like,
you know, like, and that becomes their favorite word every time you go to talk to them, right?
Oh, it does. That's all he says is no, and he shakes his head. It's like, oh, what did he do? This morning he hummed a phone at me because he wanted to call his grandpa. So he he had my phone or whatever, and he hummed it at me, and I was just like, what can I do? Like, I said no or whatever, and he started laughing. It's like, all right.
See, oh, no. And it's hard. So it's really hard when they start laughing, you know, for you to keep a straight face, to be able to be the discipliner, right?
Yeah, like my head was hurting, but at the same time, I did find it amusing that he thought it was amusing.
See, your mom's probably sitting back, and this is what my dad used to say, you know, because there was five of us, and my dad used to turn around and say, what goes around comes around. And then he'd sit back, and whenever he was, you know, babysitting or just watching, you know, my son for a little while, he would amp them up on sugar and send them back. And he would just stand there and laugh. Because he knew the night funny. I was going to have. He knew.
Oh, yeah. And sugar is like, I don't know how it, like, because I have sugar and I still could have, like, a nap right after. But, like, for kids, it's like, I don't know. It's like a shot of adrenaline. So when Levi has any type of sugar whatsoever, because we let him have like a little treat once in a while, but he's it's not without some type of
consequence.
Negative, yeah, consequence. There's what I'm looking for. So he definitely gets amped up, and he's running around, and he doesn't burn out. Like, there's no off switch.
Yep. It's just.
It's like crack to kids, because it ramps them up and it rots their teeth.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah.
Just like, well, that'd be meth, I guess.
He's actually really good with brushing his teeth. I know this sounds really weird for like a one-year-old, but he loves brushing his teeth. It's like, so if I know my toothbrush goes missing.
For a boy, that's good.
Yeah, he loves brushing his teeth. So like, my toothbrush has gone missing on multiple occasions. So I'm like, all right, like, where would I put it if I was him?
And where has it been? Enough,
in the toilet.
And where has it been?
He's pretty good not to throw things in there. He knows what the use of a toilet is for.
We won't get into that one.
Yeah, if he's mad at me, he might do that, but we'll have to see.
Okay, so this is going to lead me into the next part of this interview, and that is the burning questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-oh. So they do burn.
You set this up. You set this up.
All right.
Okay, just remember that, all right?
Okay.
What is the most trouble you've ever gotten into?
Ooh.
And you got to be raw and real about this one.
Oh, I will. I think, I'm trying to remember, there's a lot like to go through. Like, I was an interesting child, but I was just like, you know, a boy's boy, really. But I think I chained my dad's truck to a tree one time.
Oh.
And I used to do this. I don't know why I did this, but he built fence. So he had like a big like Dodge Ram with the dually tires on it and all that. But, you know, I'd see him working on the fence, and I saw how he like would work the chains and whatnot. So one time I chained his truck up to, I think it was like, there's basically wire racks. So as you're driving the truck, you hook it to a fence post and you drag it down the field. And I hooked the chain up to that, and I think it ripped the whole thing apart. But yeah, no, it was there's a lot. I was a menace. Like, I was Dennis the Menace pretty much.
And you wouldn't get that by all of your music in the past. You just wouldn't. You always thought of you as just like this gentle giant.
Yes, I think I got it all out when I was a kid, just like tearing through. And no, there's lots of stories. I almost like set the house on fire because I don't know what I was thinking. You know how in my mind. I used to love trains, and I was like, all right, well, trains need coals. And so I took the coals from a fireplace and put it up against the house. And sure enough, my dad came up. I was in the bath, and he walked in, and he had these two buckets that were just smoldering. And he's like, who can explain this to me? And
I was like, I was in the bathtub. What do you mean?
Well, he was not happy because it kind of burnt up the side of the house.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but there's a lot of little stories like that.
You didn't set any firecrackers in any cow pads or sticking on front doorsteps or something, did you? Okay, good.
No, I didn't. I was pretty good that way. I think my folks knew that me and explosives just really wouldn't mix well.
Yeah, after that, after setting your house on fire, I would think that they'd want to keep all firearms and anything to do with fire away from you.
Yeah, I can't. I think it was my sister or brother, too, one time. I was safe about it. Like, I didn't actually want to, like, harm them. But, like, I think one of them was using the facilities in the outhouse. And I remember I just dumped some gasoline.
Oh, my gosh.
Thing. Wow. It wasn't a lot. And I had it, like, kind of mixed down so that it wouldn't harm anyone. But it scared them because, obviously, there's this little, like, kind of hole in there. And I just kind of let it in. Yeah, they got out of there in a hurry.
Okay, so now that you've said this, have you ever been on the stage with George Kenyon?
I wish. I really look up to him.
Okay, well, I'm calling out to you, George, because this boy needs to be taught a lesson. And George is going to know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And he will show you. He will show you. And I want to be there to see that video.
Oh man, this could be interesting.
Yes, it could. Don't tell him what it is.
He is such a mild-mannered prankster.
You're not supposed to say anymore. Don't say anymore.
That's all I'm saying.
Don't say one more
That's
word.
That's all I'm saying.
I want
but
him.
I was, any hell I ever raised, it was always I always had a backup plan for the most part. So.
Well, you're gonna need one. You're gonna need one.
When I set the outhouse partially on fire, I had like a powder to put it out. It worked. That didn't change the response I got from my grandparents at the farm. They were still mad.
I guess so. Well, that's funny. All right. Now, here's more on a serious side for you.
Yep.
If you knew then what you know now, what would you say to a young Jade Eagleson?
Just like believe in yourself. There's a lot of self-doubt in this business and industry because everyone's unique, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might not tailor to some other artist. And that was my biggest kind of downfall coming up because, like, you know, I see all these other singers and, you know, my voice is weird compared to them. And, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't really know, didn't have a lot of confidence. So I think that, like, if you're true to yourself and, you know, your nature, then something good will come of something. You just have to be patient. It's it's a long road. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. And, mm-hmm. you know, just because one thing doesn't work out, you know, doesn't mean the next thing won't.
And I think, too, you got a really important part, you know, in that message, because any of the young artists out there, you know, whether it's rock, country, or whatever the genre may be, you know, you might be in a band or you might be a single artist, but, you know, it's hard to believe in yourself and to go forward in believing in your music because so many of them get caught up in the noise around them. And,
absolutely.
You know, they get into a lot of habits that aren't really them because they're trying to fit into this cookie cutter, you know, that they think is being an artist and what that lifestyle is.
Mm.
So is a good message, you know, to be able to be true to yourself. And, you know, if that's your personality and that's great, but you work with it, but you know what, you've always got to worry, especially you guys, you know, what's in the public eye. It's always a pressure that you guys will always have with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like coming up for me was interesting because I was really into the traditional country music and I didn't really pander to the other side of that. Right. So mm-hmm. it was a bit of a longer road just because like I play these shows and, you know, a majority of the people that were actually interested would be in their senior age. So it's pretty interesting. I didn't get a lot of like local bars in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until like my actual hometown story was great, but like the towns outside of Millbrook were pretty hard to play in. Mm-hmm. They just really were. And when I got there's a honky tonk in my hometown. And then as soon as I started playing there, like the whole town showed up and it really just brought a whole new life. It breathed a whole new life into my music and what I wanted to do. And so I owe that town a lot.
That's amazing. And I think that's where, you know, if everybody can step back and say, you know what, I want to play the big stages, but you know what, people believed in me and especially the bar owners, you know, and these small venues that sit there and say, hey, you know what, we want to believe in you. Let's, you know, get up on that stage. We'll open up this for you so many nights a week or whatever you guys want to do. And they really get behind you know, the beginning journey of setting the stage for you guys and giving you that opportunity to believe in yourself, but, you know, start your career.
Yeah, no, it was, I think our first one was like maybe 20 people. And then the next one was just like 100, like just overnight kind of like everyone started showing up. It's crazy how fast word traveled in a town like that. And, you know, sure enough, everyone was there and like all my friends. And it's just like a really great sense of community, because like you'd hop off the stage and it wasn't like a fan or anything. It was just like, you know, a guy you went to school with or someone you bailed hay for. Like it was really kind of a unique experience that kind of connected me with music a lot more.
Well, I'm glad, you know, that when you're looking back at the memories, it's just always grounding yourself and remembering, you know, the people that were there for you and how your journey all started. Because as I said, the noise can get pretty loud. And and being able to step back and see you succeed and such a success with this album is pretty amazing to watch.
I appreciate that.
Now, last question. Most useless talent that you have?
Ooh, there's a lot of them. I'd say maybe it's either my fiddle playing or my banjo playing. I'm not good at either, but you know, I've spent a lot of time on this, on these instruments, just to not be good. So it's pretty useless. I'm not, you know, I'm not able to go out there and play Devil Went Down to Georgia or, you know, something crazy on the banjo. So it's really tasking. Like, I can't sing and play the banjo nor the fiddle at the same time because of like how hard it is. So it's like, you know, like I could take my fiddle out and, you know, try some type of solo or something, but the odds of me screwing up are higher than it actually being a good show. So
you're going to have to sit down with David from the Washboard Union.
Oh yeah. I need like another probably like 5 years or something before I can even think about that.
All right. Now you have a virtual concert coming up on March 26th. Tell us about that. It's at 6 p.m.
Yeah, so it'll be with Wild and out here in Calgary, and I'm really looking forward to it. We got Tebe on the bill and Lindsay L on different days, so don't get too excited. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's a really unique way to play and like really talk to folks, and anything virtual allows you to be that much more connected to your fans. And like, I mean, I still miss live shows, and there's obviously it's a lot better doing that. But, you know, the benefits of virtual is that, like, if someone asks a question, you know, you're right there. You have time to answer it. You don't have to stick to a set time.
Watch what you wish for, because I'm going to be on there on the 26th, and I've held back two questions. And I'm going to send in one and see whether or not you answer.
I'm pretty good at everything. We'll see if you can stump me.
All right. Well, trust me.
You probably will.
Can.
I've
been successful at this. So this is a challenge that I am willing to take, no problem at all. Now, you also have some exciting news with your friends at True Local. Tell us about that.
Yes. So we have like a new campaign out with them that, you know, we're going to be offering free meat for a year to the winner. And it's been so great partnering with them and just seeing how much they love to give out. And you know, they really care about the community and sourcing local food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be able to partner with them and kind of, you know, give someone meat for a year in a time like this, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was really great to see. You know, the barbecue time is here, but so many families, you know, are really in need of that with so many people out of work right now and just trying to get food on the table. So, you know what, thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for True Local for helping out your communities there.
Oh, I'd say it's all True Local. I'm just a voice.
Well, wow.
You know, they're really great people and, you know, a company with a big heart.
Well, thank you for using your platform for some good.
Thank you.
Now, remind everybody where they can purchase and download your new single, All Night to Figure It Out.
It should be available on YouTube and every streaming platform possible. And hopefully, if you're you know, a hard copy CD kind of person, then we'll be hopefully kind of getting that next EP put together here soon with new songs on it too.
Are you going to come back? Are you going to come back and share that with us?
Oh, absolutely.
Kurt, that's perfect. I'm holding you to it. And I'll have some new questions for you too. Yeah.
You've also got some great stuff on your merch page.
Yes, you do.
Kim wants a belt buckle.
It was funny because we didn't know if the belt buckle would like take off, or like, I don't know if someone's going to like this or not. And then sure enough, like lots of people like it. I had the idea for something like a cup or something, and then it's like the belt buckle is the thing. And you can thank my manager Mike for that.
Send one over to me, and I will wear it proudly, and we'll put that up here when we're doing Music's Journey.
I was telling him, and I was like, I don't think this is gonna catch on, man. I really don't. And you know, sure enough, his idea is good. So you know, I don't want to feel his fire. He doesn't need a big ego.
Send it over to me, and we'll gladly wear it when we're doing the show.
Excellent.
Gladly. Loved that idea. So kudos to Mike. Really cool. All right. Now, you've got some listeners around the globe here that are big, big fans of yours. And what is the most important song that you've written so far that means and represents your life?
Represents my life. I think Still Good to Be You is one of those ones. I wouldn't say it's my favorite or anything that I've written, but it's definitely kind of like, at the end of the day, love is the most important thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty just like straightforward, simple song saying, you know, things age with time, but you know, love doesn't. So if you focus on the material world too much, then, you know, you're going to lose sight of the things that matter.
That's right. Especially right now. So thank you for sending in that question to our listeners. So we were glad we were able to bring that question about for you. So now don't forget, if you haven't heard the song, and it's called All Night to Figure It Out, or his self-titled album, you can request it at your local radio station. And it also helps out the artist because it builds up all of the live streaming and all the awards that go with it. So we really hope that you'll get on board as if he needs any help on this one. Absolutely. And you know what? I am so, so proud of you. And it's just, we're so happy that you're out there representing Canadian country music, and God, you're doing it well. And look what you're doing in the States. You've crossed borders. You've done an amazing job representing Canada.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for stopping by Music's Journey, and we look forward to having you back. Is there a music video that's coming with this one?
Absolutely. I think it's being released this week. I could be wrong. I guess we'll know when we get there.
All right. And we're looking forward to seeing where this takes you. Record-setting success you've had. And May 16th.
Thank you very much.
May 16th, we're going to see you at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on CBC TV, and it's going to be globally on cbcmusic.ca.junos.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Thanks, Jade.
So much, Jade.
Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
We have such a great 2 weeks of podcasts lined up for all of you listeners out there, and we are so thankful for every one of you for welcoming us into your home and into your cars and wherever you are listening to this podcast. We appreciate every single one of you, so thank you once again. We have founding member Andrew Ferris of the rock legends In Excess is going to be here. We have Lindsay L. We have the incredible story that she has in her Juno nomination. We have Brett Kissel, same thing, another Juno nom for this year. We have Jordan Hart, Jason Benoit. We have The Heels. Owen Barney's going to be back. We have Sean Carson. We have Diane Chase is going to be back with a brand new single that was written with Sean Hogan. And we have pop artist Maya Zita, Madison Old, and so many more. So we look forward to having you guys back. I am Kim Sear. Thank you so much for joining me on Music's Journey. Make some memories, cherish some time, and make sure that you make today count. We'll see you soon.
A great big thank you to Jade Eagleson for chatting with us today. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Amazon Music, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Player FM, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.